so we're continuing our series that we started about 3 weeks ago and kind of put a pause button last week, where it's our need for a king. The thing is if you don't look at God as your king, or you don't have something there as king, you're going to place something there that's going to be either productive or it's going to be destructive to your life. And what we've kind of been looking at the book of Judges, and if you want to open your Bibles, we're actually going to be in Joshua a little bit. So if you want to go towards chapter 23, you can do that now. But we've been looking at these incredible stories from the Old Testament, and they're powerful if you really take a moment and read these. And I would invite you to read them, because they're just powerful, because they speak to us right now. You know, a lot of the stories in the Bible, we think, well, how does it apply to my life? Well, these stories apply because we're just like them. God had given them the promised land, put them in there, blessed them, and they're settling into the land. And then what started to happen from there is they started to look around. They started to look around at all the other people that were in the land. They started to look at the culture of what they did. They started to look at their religious practices, and they started to say, hey, that looks pretty good. And they started to look at the morality of the people around them and going, hey, I like their morality, so I want to do that. And then so what they tried to do, which a lot of Christians try to do, you try to take God as your king, and you try to kind of mix it with culture and blend it. And it doesn't work very well. And what happens eventually, because they're looking with their eyes, they see all these things in culture, and they go, ooh, look at the things of this land. And in fact, I want these things instead of God. And they started to choose God, or choose these things of the land, of culture, over God. And then what happens is destruction just kind of started to go into their life. And they do what we do. We look at the things in our culture, don't we? Whether it's cars, video games, people, you name it. We look at all those things, and we say, I want that. I want to do what I want to do, but I don't want anybody to tell me that I can't do it, because it's good for me. It might not be good for somebody else, but I'm okay with it. We do that, and we exchange these things. And what they do is they look around and they go, I want to be like somebody else, don't we? Most of the time when you look at culture. That's what they were doing. They saw the people in the land going, I want to be like them. Now, here's a question to get us started. Do you really want to be like somebody else, honestly? I mean, you say, well, I'm not like that. Well, maybe I'm talking about everybody else but you in the room, okay? Maybe you've never wanted to be somebody else. Do you ever have the thoughts, I wish I had their car? Do you ever have the thought, I wish I had their home? Oh, if I just lived in St. Croix instead of Michigan, right? If I could just be somewhere else in the world, or if I could just have this person by my side, or you look at another person's marriage and you go, boy, I wish I had their marriage. I mean, you want to be somebody else, don't you? But no, that's just everybody else. But if we're true, what happens is we look around and we always kind of get our value and we get our cues from other people in the world. So we really want to be like somebody else. Why do we want to be somebody else when we're not designed to be that way? Because there's this perception in our minds that everybody else has a life like this. And the only way that I can describe it is a beer commercial. Okay? A beer commercial, if you watch a beer commercial, what do they have? They got the hot cars, they got nice friends, they have nice wives, nobody struggles with weight, and they're always happy all the time. It's sunny all the time for some reason in the commercials, and they have everything they want, and they have all this peace and this happiness, right? And that's what you think everybody else has. You start looking around and you start saying, oh, look at, their marriage must be really good. Because look at how they are together. Or if I could only have their house, I'd be content. Or if I could have a little bit bigger of a bank account, I'd be more content. Or if I could have some four-wheelers, or you start naming the things, then I'd be happy. If I could just be like them. The problem is we get our cues from other people. And when we're getting our cues from these other people, when we think we want to be like them or have the marriage that they have or have the relationships they have, what happens is we're only looking at their highlight reel, aren't we? Because the fact of the matter is most people's life isn't perfect. Most people's life isn't a beer commercial where everything is good all the time, right? You know, in the beer commercial, so, you know, maybe where some of you need to start is in the beer commercial, they're just kind of holding the beer, right? Maybe you need to start there. Just hold it. Don't drink it. You know, because that's the life. You think that might be the life that you want. But what happens in real life, though, when we take our cues from other people, we become them, don't we? And we just look at those highlight reels, and you start digging a little bit deeper, and you notice something. You know what? Their marriage really isn't so good. On the surface, it looks really good, but when they get home, they go to separate rooms. Oh, that car payment? They're working 80 hours a week to make that car payment. That house payment? They're going to file bankruptcy pretty quick. You see, we look at the outside of people, don't we? And we really don't know what's going on the inside. And when we look at things on the outside, when you look at our culture, all these things on the outside, and we see them with our eyes, we want to bring them in. And then that outside starts to impact the inside of who we are, and we become that. And the unique thing about the kingdom of God, it's totally different. It's an inside-out kingdom. It's what's on the inside that truly matters. But for maybe you're one of those people that you know, you've been taking your cues from people too long. And you look around and you can see all the damage that's been done in your life. Maybe this statement would resonate with you. It says, if we had only known that living like that on the outside would leave you feeling like this on the inside, you would have made different choices. Is that true? I mean, you looked at what somebody else had, or you saw this path in culture, and culture says, this is fun, this is okay, this is morally acceptable, and you changed your lifestyle and started to pursue what our culture tells you is okay instead of pursuing what God says is okay. All of a sudden, your life is a mess, and you have regret after regret after regret. And if somebody would have told you, if you would have known that those things that you're looking at with your eyes, those outside things are impacting who you are and causing destruction in who you are, maybe you wouldn't have ever done those things. I know for me it's true. I know it's usually those things that have impacted me. When I start looking at it with my eyes, I get in trouble because our eyes deceive us. Our eyes look at those things of the world and says, you know what? Those are fun. Those are good. I mean, things of this world are really alluring, aren't they? Honestly, it looks like fun. And there's good things in the world. Not all of them are bad, but we've put our attention on this and then we do what the Israelites did. They took their eyes off of God. And as soon as you take your eyes off of God, and he's not your king anymore, you are in danger of becoming somebody else. Because you look around and you go, I want what they have. I want to be more and more like them. So if you have your Bibles and you want to open them up to Joshua chapter 23, let me just ask you a question. Do you really want to be like somebody else? The Israelites did. But Joshua tried to get these people to understand God has so much more. He had something special planned for them, just like he had something special planned for you. And Joshua speaks into the lives of these people. If you don't know Joshua, Joshua is a leader in Israel during the time that we're looking at. He took over after Moses. Joshua's amazing story. Read it sometime. Because when he went into the promised land, God pulled him aside and said, okay, you need to be courageous. You need to be very courageous. You need to be very, 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 very courageous. And he kept saying, and you need to cling to my laws. Cling to my decrees. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. If you do those things, I will make you into the person that I want you. And the things of culture are not going to impact you. Yes, you're going to be in a new land. Yes, there's going to be people there. But you're not going to set your eyes on them. You're going to keep your eyes on me. If you're strong and keep your focus on my word nonstop and keep my decrees. And Joshua is a strong man who did that. And what happened is their land started to expand and God started to defeat enemy after enemy after enemy. But it was kind of coming to the end of Joshua's reign. He's getting ready to pass away. And they're getting ready to enter the period of judges. And the period of judges is a mess in the Bible, honestly, because the people do what we do. We see what other people have and take our eyes off of God. And every time that happens, you'll end up in this cycle. You'll end up into a cycle where you have destruction. Then you'll be in misery, you'll cry out to God, and then God will send a deliverer. And that's what's amazing, honestly, with the book of Judges, is that we have an incredible God who is very passionate, very compassionate, very loving, very merciful, because these people, no matter what they've done, no matter how far that they went into the culture around them, as soon as they cried out, as soon as they said, God, we're done, God, we want you to be king, what happens? God says, I'm going to send a deliverer and I will be your king. And God delivers them time and time again. So the good news for you that if you're here this morning, if you're mentally here, the good news is this. No matter what you've done, no matter how far you've went away from God's decrees and God's laws, no matter how you've abandoned him and walked away from him, he will always take you back. As soon as you recognize something, that you've sinned and you need to repent and you welcome him back as your king. And it's a beautiful, because we see this time and time again in the book of Judges. But Joshua at this time is getting ready to send them into the promised land. And he doesn't want them to fall victim to the cycle that we can kind of see in Judges. He wants them to keep God as a center focus. But if you remember the verse that we kind of been kind of hinging the series on is this verse that comes out of Judges chapter 21, verse 25. And it'll be up on the screen. It says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." In other words, they looked around and they saw all the culture. They saw all these things and their attention went over there. And they started to do whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, however they wanted. They started to set up their own morals and living their life how they decided was best fit for them. And they kicked God out. And if you look at the book, it's a mess. Because they did not have God as their king. But in the beginning, Joshua says, "I don't want you to do this. I want you to stay focused on God and have him the king of your life." Because here's one thing that Joshua understood. If you keep his decrees, you will have a blessed life. It doesn't mean that life is going to be simple. It doesn't mean that you're going to go through without any bumps. But it means that God is going to be with you and you're going to be blessed. You know, when I started thinking about this message a little bit, I started thinking about Christians and us. We like to say we know God's word. We know his decrees. But we have a major problem. We haven't let it penetrate our hearts. We know the knowledge. We know the verses, but we've never really let it enter into here. Because the kingdom of God is a kingdom of the heart, we're going to find out from Joshua in his words. And if you don't let it penetrate your heart, it doesn't change who you are. And there's a lot of marriages. If you would live your marriage within the decrees of God, the laws of God, your marriage would be much better. Most of the marriages, they're living outside of it. They're, instead of laying their life down for one another, instead of loving one another, bearing with one another, they become very self-motivated, and they say it's all about me and what I can get out of this or what the other person isn't doing. That's not God's plan for marriage. God's plan for marriage is to humble your heart, to have him as your king, and to submit to one another and love one another unconditionally. Can you imagine what the marriage would look like? Relationships. You say, "I don't have very good relationships with people around me." If you'd submit to God's decree and his laws and apply that to your relationships, guess what? You'd have great relationships. Financially, you're struggling. You don't know how to make it. You're deep in debt. You're struggling. If you would submit to the decrees of God, you wouldn't be struggling with your finances. Because he speaks to all these issues. The great thing about this book, the Bible, it is black and white. There's no gray area. And it speaks to every single area of our lives. And Joshua says, hold on to this. God says, hold on to this and keep it. So you have Joshua kind of getting in the beginning of the story. And I guess I could even say teens. You know, teens, you know, if you started living your lives, I should have said this earlier, within God's decrees, guess what? You wouldn't make such bad choices. You'd have a relationship with your parents. You'd have a relationship with your friends. If you didn't worry about being the most popular person in school and you started submitting to God as your king and worried about God as king, guess what? You'd have a happy life. See, what I love about God's word is you truly look at it and it will speak to every one of us if you allow it. So Joshua begins to speak to these people. He begins to speak to them and he's talking to them about ultimate freedom. Because all of us are craving ultimate freedom, aren't we? We want to do what we want, how we want, when we want, right? And we think ultimate freedom is making choices that benefit me. But ultimate freedom, Joshua is going to tell us and God's word tells us, is only when you're submitted to God as king and when you're following his decrees. That is the ultimate freedom. Every other thing in this world, everything that culture offers you, it will enslave you. The kingdom of heaven is the only one that sets you free. And so Joshua tries to get these people to understand this is the kingdom that you want. And he starts out in verse 6. Be very strong. I mean, this is like a command. Be very strong. Why do we have to be very strong? Because it's easy to lose sight of this, of God's word. Culture has a pull. The people that they're getting ready to go into this promised land, they're getting ready to settle down their homes. They're going to grow and they're going to have prosperity. Be strong. Just keep your focus. You got to cling to this, he's saying. You can't look away from this for a moment. Because when I start looking at it with my eyes, it's going to pull me away from this. And so Joshua says, be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. So Joshua starts out and says, be strong. Be strong and cling to this. Cling to the word of God. Cling to the Bible. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. You go to the left, this is what culture says. You go to the right, this is what culture says. This is what another human being says. You see them living a certain lifestyle, and you can take God's word and you can kind of take a little piece of it out and go, oh, they're okay, because I can justify it when I go to the left or to the right. And you have Joshua saying, do not go to the left or the right. Stay centered right in the middle of it. Because this is the thing that we have to be grounded in. Otherwise, culture and our eyes are going to pollute the kingdom that's inside of us. Those things of culture are going to enslave you. Those things are going to destroy you. Those things of culture are going to be your king instead of him as king. And then it's all messed up. And then it goes on in verse 12. He says, but if you turn away, in other words, don't do this, but if you turn away, don't ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you. I mean, some of this sounds a little harsh because it's like, well, wait a minute. He says not to even associate with the people around him. No, what he's saying is this. He says, yeah, we're here in this world, aren't we? We can't avoid this being here. He says, but there's a culture that's going on around us. There are people that are doing whatever they see is right in their own eyes. They are justifying living together, having sex outside of marriage. They are justifying lying. They are justifying stealing. Their morality has dropped to this lowest level in history. I mean, you look at our culture in America. We're ways from God's morality, aren't we? We're a long ways from the Word of God. And he says... the problem is you're going into a land, and there's a land there that is filled with all these temptations and all these things. If you start looking at these things with your eyes, you're going to fall to these things. It's not the people that are the problem, it's you that's the problem. He doesn't tell them not to associate with them. He doesn't tell them not to take care of them, because God's law actually tells them that they're supposed to be hospitable to people. They're supposed to take care of people. They're supposed to love their neighbors, even if they might not be of the same faith as them. But he says, don't align yourself with them. Don't look at culture and say, I can bring that into my life. I can do what they did. I can take God and I can blend culture. It doesn't work. He says that once you do this, it becomes a problem. It becomes very toxic to you, because you're starting to live an outside-in kingdom instead of an inside-out kingdom. The outside-in kingdom is nothing but trouble. The outside kingdom is a kingdom that brings brokenness to marriage. It brings brokenness to relationships. It brings brokenness to the heart and to the soul of people. Because they look at all these things on the outside and they think that's reality. They think that culture is going to make them happy. It's not. It leaves you empty. It enslaves you. It becomes your king. He says, so don't align yourself with culture. You have to be counterculture. I mean, you hear cultural Christians. Isn't that most Christians? We are watering down this, the Word of God, to the point where we can tolerate everything. It's not that we don't love everybody and love people, but we don't tolerate everything. There's a standard that we have to live by. Because God says, I have something special for you. Just like he said to these people, I have something special in store for you. But if you want me to be your God, then you have to be my people. And for me to be your God, you have to follow my word. And you have to submit your heart to me as king. And so as Joshua is telling these people, he's trying to warn them, don't do these things. Don't look at culture. Don't let your eyes deceive you. Don't look at what everybody else has. Don't wish you were somebody else. Keep your eyes on him. If not, if you align yourself, he says, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, in verse 13, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. So in other words, if you start accepting culture, you start accepting lifestyles that are counter to God's word, which we know are true, you start accepting all these things, guess what? You're outside the blessing of God. God's going to pull his blessing away from you. he's not going to be your God. And that's exactly what he did. He said, okay, you want culture? You can have culture. Here's the thing that you got to understand about God. He's a perfect gentleman. He will never force himself on anybody. If you say no to God, if you say, God, I'd rather have culture than you, he'll let you do it. Because he loves you. Because he's not going to be this puppet master that controls you. That's not God. He's merciful. He's loving. He wants you to love him. And he said, and the only way that we can love him is when we submit our heart to him and when we say, you are my king. And we follow his law. Those are the only way that we can demonstrate our love towards him. But he says, you want the culture? Go ahead. If you do that, if you think you can blend all these values and all these morals of culture that go against mine with me, you're wrong. This is what he says is going to happen. Instead, if you do that, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your back and thorns in your eyes. Joshua says, go ahead. You want to drift. You want to start looking at culture. You want to give up God and pursue all the things that you want in life because you think those things are going to make you happy. You want to drink beer to the point where you consume it and you get drunk. You want to do drugs. Okay, if you're going to align yourself with that, you want to mistreat your spouse. You want to mistreat people around you. You want to lie. You want to steal. You want to accept the values of the world. And if you want to do that, go ahead. But here's the problem. They will ensnare you. They will trap you. And they will be like thorns in your eyes and they'll be like whips on your back. And think about it. Think about the very thing that you thought that you were getting when you looked at culture and said, that's something I want. What happened? It enslaved you, didn't it? Immediately, as soon as you got it, most of you have remorse and regret for some of the things that you've done and you've gave up. Some of you had sex before marriage and then you got married to somebody that you really love and you regret that you did that because you gave something up. You compromised your values and your standards. And now your life's a mess. You decided that you wanted to have these things and all of a sudden you're burdened with all these things. You're working 40 to 80 hours a week plus just to keep those things. You see, the things that we give into, the things that, of this world that we love to give into, they eventually become our masters. And they become enslaved again. And God didn't want that for his people. Because remember, he brought them out of captivity. He brought them away from taskmasters, away from a Pharaoh that beat them and whipped them. And he didn't want that for them. He wanted them to have the ultimate freedom. And that was for him to be their king. I don't know about you. Who's your king? Is there an item? Is there something that's your king? I would invite you to just take a moment and think about it and go, is that worth it? Because let me poke at us a little bit. Aren't there things that you wish you could unsee? Guys, don't you wish you wouldn't open up that magazine and put an image into your brain that you know that's polluted you and distorted your view towards your wife? Young men, those images that you look at have distorted your view towards young girls. Ladies, don't you wish you wouldn't have seen that dress? Because you don't like it anyways and it sits in the closet and you never wore it? Don't you wish you would have unseen a lot of things in life? And I'm not just talking about people. You know, you go to your neighbor's house, they get the brand new spanking car. They say, come on over. Take it for a ride. What happens when you open up the door and you sit in there? What do you smell? Everybody's going, new car. Leather. You've seen that and you're going, whoa, I got to get that. You go back to your car, open up your door, sit in your car. What do you smell? Family. French fries. Right? And then all of a sudden inside your heart, you're going, I got to get me a new car. A brand new one. And so you go to the dealership and all of a sudden you got a $400 to $500 payment. Now you don't even know how you can afford it. Worse yet, it breaks down every other month. Right? Aren't there things that you wish you've never seen? And don't you think wish that there's people that you could unmeet? You ever think about that? Don't you wish that you would have never met that guy? Don't you wish you would have never met that girl? Because after you met that person, you put your eyes on them and took them off of God and you compromised everything about who God is and what you believed about him for them. And there's people that you met in your life that you wish you never would have met. And for me, there's I worked for a company. I wish I would have never met these people, honestly. And I don't mean it in a harsh way, but I do mean it in a harsh way. Because I met them, I compromised my values and my morals and what I believed about God. Because if I looked at them and I saw what they had and I thought there was something in that, only to find out later there was nothing but brokenness, scatteredness, addiction, and just manipulating people who were miserable. And God took the blinders off and said, "You want happiness? You want hope? You want life? Choose me." I wish I never would have met them because I have regret. I regret that I wish I would have never done a lot of things in my life that I've done. And I know you're there too. But the truth of the matter is, our eyes get us into trouble, don't they? We see what everybody has. We see what we think we want. And we're living from outside in, and that's not the kingdom of God. Because what happens when we start living from the outside in, those things do something. They snare us, and they trap us. And God said, "I gave you my son as a sacrifice to set you free. My son has overcome the world." Those things in the world do not have to be your God. They do not have to come into your life and take you over if you set me up as king. Because I've also given you my son to get the forgiveness of sins, also to have a relationship with me, but I've also done something. I put my spirit into you so that way you can start living from the inside out. But most of us, we're living in the wrong kingdom, the outside-in kingdom, instead of the inside out. God says, "Why would you do that? Why would you want to be anything except for what I created you?" And Joshua says, "The things we set our eyes on will become snares and traps for you. There'll be whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes. And get this, until you perish from this good land which the Lord has given you." In other words, you set your heart on something. You put that thing above God. And you make that king, because here's the thing that we know. When you put something above God, that becomes your king. And all you're doing is exchanging one king for another king. When you set your eyes on that one thing, it's going to be there for the rest of your life, it says. It's going to haunt you for the rest of your life if you're doing the outside-in kingdom. But there's good news. Jesus broke that. If you will do something, if you admit that you're living the wrong kingdom, if you admit that the way that you're living is selfish, you're a sinner, you need a savior, and you're willing to submit your life wholeheartedly to him, not just a little section of it, but it's all of it. And then you have Joshua just pleading with these people, saying, "Please, please, 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 please. You want to know how to have a good life? You want to know how to be blessed in this land, in this world that we live in? Make God your king and set your eyes focused on this, his word. Don't let the things in culture change the inside of you." And we got it all messed up. Somehow we think culture is so much more fun than God. We think that culture has so much more to offer than God. And here's the problem that the Israelites struggled with as they get into the land more. They struggled with this. "I think God is holding out on me. I think that God, for some reason, doesn't want me to have all these things because he's just holding out on me. He's playing a game with me. So I want these things of the world. I want these things of the culture because, you know, after all, I deserve them. And God's holding out on me. And God shouldn't hold out on me." And that's a mentality that's been around for years. Think about the Garden of Eden. What happened? God says, "I'm giving you this lush garden. I'm giving you everything I got. It's beautiful. It's perfect. All you can't do is eat from this one tree. That's all I'm asking." And what does Satan come in and do? He says, "Excuse me. See that tree? God doesn't want you to know something. God's holding out on you." And Adam and Eve did exactly what the Israelites did. Exactly what you and I do. And they started to go, "Well, God is holding out on us. So let's eat of that fruit." You know what happened? Sin entered in. Separation from God. Because of a choice. Israelites, what do you think happens every time that they choose to believe that God is against them, that God's holding out on them? They get selfish, self-centered. They take the things of the world, of their culture, They eat of it, they take of it, and then all of a sudden they're in captivity, they're sinning, they're destroyed. And God, when they cry out, saves them. It's amazing when you look at these stories. But the question for you is this. Do you believe that is God for me, or is God keeping me from something? That's the question that you need to answer. Whether you're searching after God, or whether you're trying to re-engage with God, or you're trying to actually try to figure out more how to get more of God, you have to answer this question. Do you believe that God is for you? Do you believe that he's a God who's not holding out on you? Do you believe that he's a God that has given you good things? Because if you remember the verse that Joshua said, that he said he put you in a land that was a good land that the Lord God gave them. So it was a good land. He gave them good things. He wasn't holding out on them. You know what he was doing? He was protecting them. He understood that culture, when we start looking at it with our eyes, pulls us away from him. And it tarnishes our hearts. And when we start looking at and adopting how culture handles relationship, we start adopting, saying culture says, you know, drinking in excess is acceptable. You know, having sex outside of marriage is acceptable. God says, those are bad things. Those aren't good things. Those things enslave you. And I've set you free. So what do you believe? Is God for you? Do you really believe it? Or do you believe that he's playing a game with you and holding out on you? Think about the cross for just a moment. Did he hold out on you? What did he place on the cross? The thing that was most precious to him, his son. And he let his son be crucified so that way you could have good things. You could have a right relationship with him. You can have eternal life with him. You can receive the forgiveness of sins, and you can break these crazy cycles where we're saying, God, you're my king. No, you're not my king. God, you're my king. Now I'm in trouble. Now back and forth in this constant cycle to break it. He gave up the best thing for you, just like he gave Israel the best land. And then they chose to walk away because of that one question. I don't believe he's for me. Joshua continues on his speech. And he knows that these people are going to take their eyes off of God. And this is what I'm hoping, that you don't take your eyes off of him anymore. That you don't look at the world and say, this is defining me, and I want to be someone else. But you say, I want to be the son or the daughter of the king. And you stop doing the same things that you're doing. And Joshua kind of gets to chapter 24, verse 23, and he says, now then, said Joshua, throw away the gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Joshua says, take all those things that are pulling your attention off of God. All those things that you're setting up as kings in your life. All these things of culture where you think those are better. Take all those things that you've hid under your bed. All those things that you put under your pillow. All the things that you put in your garage. All the things that you put under your pole barn. All those things, those idols that you worship. Those people that you worship. Take all those things and throw them away. Get rid of them. And then he says, and then you got to do something. And this is a powerful verse. And yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Yielding the heart is not easy. Because our eyes deceive us. Our eyes look at our culture. Our eyes look at what other people have. And we think that's reality. And we let that impact us. Whatever our passions are, whatever our affections are drawn to is who you really become. And if you are drawn to the things of this world, if your eyes are focused on that, that's who you are. But if your eyes are on the King, the Lord God, you become his child. And underneath him, as child, you have freedom and the ultimate freedom, the forgiveness of sins and eternal life with him. But you have to yield, and it's not easy to yield, is it? Because yielding means I got to give everything up. I have to give up the things that are in his place. And you can have good things there, you can have bad things there. But you have to get rid of every single one of them and say, God, I am yours and I am completely yours. Because here's what we know about God's kingdom. It's an inside-out kingdom, meaning it's a kingdom of the heart. And if he does not have your heart, and he does not rule your heart, and if his word is not in your heart, he is not your ruler. And you're serving the wrong king. You see, the kingdom of God, the inside kingdom, it impacts how you love people. It impacts how you treat your wife. It impacts how you treat your husband, how you treat your children, how you treat people in this world. When you're living from the inside out with Him impacting you, that affects everything. But if you are going to the outside kingdom, which is a kingdom of covet, where you're looking at everything else, that kingdom makes you a slave. Destroys relationships. Destroys hope. Destroys future. Full guilt. You choose the kingdom. What kingdom do you want? So the question for this morning is simply this. When have you yielded your heart to God completely? Some of you are going, well, I did that. I said a little prayer. Did you give up everything to Him? Did you give up your marriage? Did you give up your children? Did you give up your job? Did you give up your finances? Are they His? Have you yielded your life, your time, your energy, your focus to Him? See, it's not just about saying a simple little prayer and getting fire insurance. It's about making Him the king. And the only way He can be the king is if He has your heart. So when have you yielded your heart? And so some of you, maybe you need to ask yourself this question. Have you yielded your heart lately? Because these things that we see pull us away from God real easy. And we start blurring the lines. We start putting God and culture together. And that leads to destruction. It leads to brokenness. Have you yielded lately? To kind of get you going in this direction as we kind of wrap things up this morning, on the back of your bulletin, you'll see a psalm out of Psalm 119. What I want you to do is to do this. Two times a day, for the next 7 days, to read this out loud. I want you to put it on your mirror. If you need to put it on your mirror, cut it out. Put it on your dashboard of your car, but don't read it while you're driving. You know, wait until you're at a stoplight. Okay? And I want you to say it out loud. If you're in a family, you have a husband and wife, you have children, whatever family, you have friends around that are considered family. What I want you to do is I want you to get together and read this out loud. Two times a day, together, out loud. And yes, out loud. So you hear it, so your mind starts to accept it and starts to kind of make this transition. I need to yield my heart completely to make Him my king. And this is King David saying these things in verse 35. It says, direct me in the paths of your commands. I mean, in the paths of your word, in the paths of your law, however you want to say that. We've been on a lot of paths, haven't we? God, put me on your path, not the path of this world. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes. God, my heart has been turned towards all these things of the world. I want you to do something. I want you to take this heart that has been affected by this outside-inside kingdom, and I want it to be an inside-out kingdom. I want you to twist it around so that your word, your ways become my passion. It says to turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards what? Selfish gain. God, don't let me look at these things of the world and just have a desire to be like this person or like that person or have what they have. But I want to be like your son. I want to bring you glory in this world. And then it goes on, verse 37. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. I mean, it's recognizing our eyes get us in trouble. All those things of culture, all the things that Israel struggled with and Joshua was trying to get them to stay focused on for the on God. And he knew that they were going to struggle with all those things. They're all worthless. He says, turn my eyes away from the worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. So as you go out this week, just use this as a prayer. Because here's what I know. We're just like the people in Israel. It's easy for us to get lost in culture. It's easy for us to adopt other people's lifestyles. It's easy for us to accept lifestyles and change our morals and our values. It's easy for us to get our focus on things and off of the King. So would you just use it as a time to ask the question, Who is your king? Is it God or is it something else? And then do something about it. Surrender. Yield your heart fully. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, and I'm so amazed at how relevant your word is. That something that happened so many years ago, you used to speak to us right now. God, I would ask that you would do what your word says. That you would change us from the inside out, Lord. That you would help us to understand, Lord, that when we focus on all these things of the world, that our hearts get lost. They get drawn away from you as the King. Lord, I would ask that you would do a work in all of us. That you help us to flip around the kingdoms and have an inside-out kingdom where you are God and your way is true and right. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.